Hello, everybody. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And like always, I have a question for you. What is your solution to the suffering in the world? I mean, most people recognize the enormity of suffering, and we all feel as though we're just too small to make a difference. So often we just look to governments or religion or scientific fixes that might be big enough to eliminate suffering. But what if suffering has a purpose? What if there is a way to deal with suffering that didn't avoid it, but transformed it into something beautiful? Join me now as we see beyond the Beatitudes into exactly what it means to experience happy suffering. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for coming back to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name's Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things that I do, just like you. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Sunday, if you're listening to that then. Folks, I just want to say thanks to all the new folks signing up on the podcast and those who are signing up for the newsletter. I want to welcome you to this growing community. I want to say thank you for tuning in, giving me a listen. Hopefully you'll stick around long enough to hear what I'm actually saying. It's not going to come super easy, but when it comes, I think you're going to really appreciate it. If you'd like to sign up for my newsletter, if you're a podcast listener, I'd encourage you to do so. Go to my website, kevinwinder.com, and look for Winder's Windshield. You'll be able to sign up right there. Look for other things that are going on up on my website. You can connect with me, ask me questions, give me comments, give me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. I answer every single one. So folks, we're in a series, but I don't advertise it as such. And we're going through probably the most overplayed series in the history of the world. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And before you run away, before you unsubscribe, before you disconnect or switch channels, I just want you to say, I am not going where you think I'm going. I'm taking this in a place of expansion. I'm actually going to reveal things that I have never seen up until the recent years. Literally, it's taken hundreds of readings of this text, hundreds of hours of study to see this. And all of a sudden it's dawning, and I felt so compelled to reveal this to you. And so I hope that you're joining with me. Last week was the introduction, or maybe 2 weeks ago. Today we are going to talk about happy suffering. This is podcast number 186, Happy Suffering. And what do we got to say about suffering? I mean, gosh, this is something that touches every single person. Everybody suffers. But do you realize that it's possible to end nearly all the suffering in the world within a single generation? I mean, it's possible. It's not likely. But if you agree that it's technically possible, how do you imagine such a transformation would take place, right? I mean, in your mind, are you thinking, well, it's going to be the government, it's going to be science, it's going to be religion, it's going to be something, right? We each have kind of our own idea about how we're going to solve the suffering in the world or what it would really take. Oh, it would, it would take a Democratic solution. It would take a Republican solution, right? I mean, if you're thinking in those binaries, you're thinking way too small. And I'll bet that most of you that your solutions to the world's suffering are external, just as those who were hearing the Sermon on the Mount likely thought suffering was too. See, they were oppressed people. They were poor people, marginalized people. These are people who are suffering, right? And like them, you probably feel that the solution to starving is access to food. Or you think that the sick in society that are suffering would be given cures. That the have-nots would somehow become haves in some way, right? Or that the sad are somehow made happy, right? This is because we always look at our world in this binary way of seeing things. And I'm always talking about it because it's the pivotal way to change how you think. Like, you don't have to change what you know. You just have to change how you know it. And switching out of a binary framework is the best way to evolve. And so here is this picture, right, of suffering. And we all look at it as, well, we just want to give hungry people food, sick people cures, people who don't have things to have things. That'll end all the suffering in the world. But that's how we actually end up in this place where we see suffering as this thing to be avoided. As society, though, we have to kind of ultimately look critically at the distribution of power, the distribution of wealth and resources, and how that relates to human suffering. It's really important. You see, these are certainly bigger causes. There's not usually a single individual associated with any of these. Yeah, there might be somebody who's a figurehead. There might be somebody who kind of spearheads it or leads it or is a CEO or a president or something like that. But it takes a lot of people in conjunction with a person like that to make anything happen. And this is where all of our ideologies and our politics, you know, splinter off into political factions and ultimately into war. And it's too easy to just insist on equal distribution of resources as a solution. That doesn't work. A solution only means that we haven't really understood what suffering ultimately is. You see, and this is where a lot of people think. As I asked a lot of folks, you know, what do you think about suffering and how would you solve it? It always kind of ends in this. If you look at your Facebook feeds, 90% of it are people complaining about the other side or those people or that group or this company or whatever and how it unfairly does something to create suffering in the world. And we have to face it, folks. Some people are more clever than you and I. They are smarter. They are better at planning. They are more ingenious than other people. Higher IQ makes a very big difference in this world than lower IQ. And there is a huge disparity of IQ in our world. Now, whether in our modern cities or back in rural ancient Israel, like when this sermon was talked about, clever, smarter, better planning people would always thrive and become more independent and more powerful. This is always the case. It's going to be the truth if they put them on a desert island or if you put them in a big city, right? The more simple people among us can always learn from these people, but will mostly become dependent upon those who have greater capacities. This is reality. This is how it is. This is all behind what suffering that we see. And if we're merely animals, then survival of the fittest could resolve the suffering of the weak and the powerless, right? I mean, after all, they're just going to get eaten, destroyed, run over, left behind. But humanity has a consciousness that elevates us beyond the beast of the field. And the solution to suffering is beyond leaving it to nature as our cruel mother. And see, suffering then is not solved by governments. This is why they never work. This is why government solutions often just create more suffering, more inequality, more disparity, more polarity. Haven't you noticed? Every time there's an election, we get more and more polarized. See, governments only have the resources that they take from productive citizens. A government doesn't have any money of its own. See, when the state reallocates resources, it creates dependence, which potentiates the suffering of those most vulnerable citizens, as the more clever and capable among even the low productive, those even among the low production people, the more clever and productive they are, the more they capture the resource. And so those programs that we're going after, the most vulnerable, are now including a wide margin, just people who don't really qualify for that because they're more clever, but they somehow got their hands on it. So there's abuses of the system continually. And let's not mention that those with the means, those with who actually are the high producers, are suffering the plunder of the government for the sake of everybody else. So anytime you produce, you suffer. They can't go entirely to your family, friends, and those around you because the government's going to take it for its own purposes. I'm not suggesting we should never have taxation. I think taxation is fair and required in a society, but it should be equally shared among all citizens. It should be equally shared among all corporations in equal proportions, right? But we don't see that at all, right? We have a system that is designed by the most smart and clever among us. To benefit who? The smart and clever among us. So folks, this is reality behind the suffering. This isn't necessarily the entire cause of it. And so when we think about this, we think, gosh, maybe we need a government solution. We need a Republican solution. We need a Democratic solution. We need to just bomb it. We need a military solution. It's not a solution. You can see why this just produces more suffering. Scientific advances are amazing, but they cannot keep up with the suffering world. You see, every time you come up with a vaccine or a therapy, it has side effects. And so often the side effects produce more suffering than the cure it provides. And while these can be noble and worthwhile pursuits, their underlying presupposition is that suffering is solved from the outside in. We just fix this thing, put a Band-Aid on it, and suffering goes away. These advances are easily converted, as you know, into economic engines, which gain, you know, pricing advantages only to those who are what? Clever and productive. And so access creates disparaging results, doesn't it? Not everybody can get the new drug that actually works. We don't value all citizens equally. Some are plundering the resources and some are paying into the resources. So here we go again. This disparity grows and so does suffering. So religion comes along and says, hey, we've got it. We've got your answer to suffering. You know what it is? It's an evacuation strategy. You see, suffering is just a part of this horrible world. You know, join the winning team over here. Come to our services. Be one of us. Define yourself by our terms. And all the suffering in your life will go away when you die. And then you'll get to go to somewhere else where there is no more suffering. You see, religion equates suffering with this evil human existence, and thus it's completely unavoidable. And so we don't even try. You know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's just getting worse. This is the devil's world. The evil world is here. And eventually, one day, the sky will unroll, and Jesus will come back and blow his horn, and he's going to take all the Christians up with him and leave everybody else to their suffering. Everybody else, see, this is the Christian, you know, evacuation strategy, but every religion has one. And while kind of partially true in the sense that suffering is unavoidable here, it really misses the richness and beauty that emerges, excuse me, from a humanity that is transformed by suffering. See, it uses suffering to gain converts that will jump into the lifeboat. But that is the furthest thing from the intention of Jesus in this sermon. He is not in any way saying, jump into the lifeboat. When he's talking in this, he's offering the lifeboat. And it's not about getting out of suffering. It's all about going through. And so I point to our world's approach to suffering because there's another solution that is here in the Beatitudes. And whenever it's applied, suffering transforms into something beautiful. It's a strategy that's not an overpowering strategy. You're not going to come along and overpower suffering. You're not going to eliminate suffering in some militaristic or mystical victory. Its strategy is to undermine its power by transforming suffering into something else. It's the way through, not around. You see, and this approach is counterintuitive. It's packaged in paradox, as I said last week. If you miss paradox, you're going to miss all of this stuff. It's not an outside-in power play. It's an inside-out transformation. And so what does this have to do with the Sermon on the Mount? Well, everything. You see, Jesus' words are not the myopic ideas of humanity. These are not just little fortune cookies with a set of lottery numbers on the back hoping you do well, right? They are not the formation of a new religion. They are the greatest gift to all the world, so long as we have ears to hear them. See, they are a roadmap to the new world for all people. So the solution to suffering has been hiding right here in plain sight all along. It's not a plan. It's not a government program. It's not a scientific endeavor, a coalition, a new religion. It's not a movement. It's not even a feel-good gesture. All these things have their place, but are not the solution themselves. They are tools to organize the only solution big enough to do the job. And so all of these things work together in the solution. These institutions can offer ways that allow suffering to be shared. That's the idea. It's to share suffering, not avoid it. Unfortunately, though, institutions become corrupt and self-serving, and they want to avoid their own suffering, and so they bring more suffering than they ultimately share. That's why we see so many problems with them. So the solution is not anti-government, anti-religion, anti-get rid of all institutional power. No, no, no. It's the subversion of institutional power. It's the reclaiming of institutional power for the good of all people. It's actually ultimate democracy in some sort. I mean, look at, see if this isn't true. If it is, then suffering is only the worst thing in the world if we lack the ability to see it as the necessary precondition for the arrival of the new world. So if you're not seeing suffering correctly, then suffering is the worst thing that can happen. See, only in a world with so much suffering could be transformed into so much more, into so much beauty. And this is the point Jesus is making in his famous sermon. Yes, you suffer, but that means you're actually blessed. You see, the blessing is not an ascension, like I said last week. It's a descent. And modern skeptics view the world's suffering as evidence that there can be no good in loving God, right? Have you ever heard that? Look at the world's suffering. Are you telling me that there's a God out there who loves us and is actually good? How can he let all this stuff happen? What Jesus is revealing, though, is that the opposite, the paradox, is true. Suffering is the evidence that God is intimately involved and deeply connected to our suffering, so much so that he would be pleased to take suffering on himself, that he would be the role model of personal suffering, of humiliation, of being overlooked, forsaken, forgotten, abused, right? All of the world's human suffering finds itself in the story of Jesus. So now we have a God who says, it's that important. I'll do it myself. I'll show you how. I will take it on in my own body. Not to just leave you out to suffer, but that God is intimately connected with suffering himself. Now suffering means you can't go a day and miss God, because you can't go a day and miss suffering. See, suffering doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. If you're in a painful place, if you're hurting in your heart and in your life, and everything's destroyed and broken and rotten and seems like there can be no repair, it does not mean God has forsaken you. Suffering means that you are blessed to share in the life of God, which also suffered. See, it's all revealed in our pain. And thus the default mode of pain avoidance is what causes us to miss God in the world. The pain avoidance is what got you into that broken place in the first place. See, the moment we forgive reality for being what it is, that very moment when you finally see your oppressor as a version of yourself, when you finally see the dejected and lost and the scumbags of the society as versions of yourself, that you're two clicks away from that yourself. It's that moment that suffering transforms into liberation and new life. That is the path out. That is the path through suffering. You're going to see this in the coming weeks as we unpack this sermon. It's going to blow your mind. The solution to the world's suffering is to transform it from the inside out, not the outside in. You see, the solution requires our participation. It requires our faith into something beyond what our eyes see. See, we are to first test it in our own suffering so that we can reveal the way to those who suffer around us. That's what it's here for. You all have suffering. Why? So that you can help share in the suffering of others. Isn't it always better to find someone who's gone through something just like you? And when they've gone through it and have come to a good place, it helps you to say, okay, there could be a good place for me in the future. It gives you hope, gives you a sense of continuity. It makes you feel like you're not the only one in the world going through it. And let me tell you, you are not. Even if the suffering was brought on by yourself in a foolish mistake, in some line of bad decisions, it's okay. The path out is still the same. It can be shared. It can be transformed into something beautiful. It means you're blessed, okay? And so if you find yourself in a place of suffering, take heart. You are experiencing the love of God. You're experiencing, actually, the Christ experience. This is what your pain is. It's the love of God coming to you in and as your very pain. Most people think, I want to be like God. I want to feel God's love. I want to know God when they get on these spiritual pursuits. But they never want to know the suffering Christ, the one where the face of God turns away and he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? The one that was beaten and bruised and speared through the side, whipped, dehumiliated, spit upon, naked, and, you know, abandoned. Yeah, yeah. That is the love of God coming to you in and as your sense of abandonment and pain and suffering. Do you see it now? Can you get it? Can you connect it? Can you feel it? Can you embody it? This is not a head game, folks. Jesus is setting the stage for his own life. He's preparing these people who are in a life of suffering to say, don't look to that temple on the hill. Do not look to Rome behind them. This is not coming from there. There's a new kingdom that arises that is going to bring this around. But you aren't going to get it by overpowering those big features on the hill. You're going to get it by subverting them with the power within. If you understand that, you're going to get paradox and you're going to understand and love the Sermon on the Mount. See, if you see suffering, join it. Even in a small way, even if it's in somebody else, join the suffering. If you see your suffering, be in it, feel it, experience it, forgive reality for being what it is. And in some small way, you will experience its reduction and its effects on others. And see, now we understand the Beatitudes. What they're saying is don't miss out on your suffering. It's what it means to be blessed. This can transform your life and the world around you.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember I spell Kevin like the number 7. Go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today.